Morning. Good to see everyone. I want to welcome our guests this morning. Hope you'll make yourself to home. We're going to be talking for the next couple of weeks about thanks and being thankful. Today I want to talk about the reason we give thanks. Since this is the Thanksgiving season, I thought, why not talk about giving thanks? And, you know, sometimes we're not in the mood to give thanks. We think, what do we need to be thankful for? Or what do we have to be thankful for? And there's a difference between happy and joy. And I've got a book at home called Happiness is a Choice. It's written by two Christian MDs. And it was a good book. I read it. And I can't tell you their names to save my life. I'm bad with names. Thank you. Yeah. And they talked in there about how you make the choice to be happy, whatever situation you're in. And many of you know I suffer from depression, and even on my meds, I still get pretty down. But I also have the joy of the Lord. Now somebody might say, well, how do you do that? Because sometimes we confuse happiness with joy, and if I'm not happy, then I must not have joy. And joy to me is assurance. It's the faith that I have. Jesus prayed that he wanted us to have his joy. Pardon me. He wanted us to have his joy. Before he left the earth, he told his men, my peace I leave with you. Okay? The Bible says, let the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts. Sometimes we push it out. I believe that. Sometimes we will push the peace of Christ out. We become anxious to the point of anxiety. We fret over things. And the peace of Christ, the Bible says to let that rule in your heart. Let it live in your heart. And that's something we do by faith. You know, we're in Revelation in Sunday school. And I keep telling the class, one thing I get out of Revelation, God is in control. Everything that happens in that book, no matter how chaotic, he's in control. And for that, I can give thanks. You know, no matter how this world ends, no matter how I die, if I die before the Lord returns, he's in control. And I'm thankful for that he knew me before I was ever created. He knew you before you were ever created. As we talked about in Ephesians, he, as a Christian, he has a definite plan for your life. That means he's in control. God says, I have a plan. Now, I don't believe that he shoves that on you. We're free will creatures. We can reject that plan and walk away. But he is in control. And I'm going to be in the Psalms for the next couple of weeks because David has a lot to say about thanks. David was a very thankful person. And today we're going to be in Psalms 105. The reason we give thanks is what I've entitled this. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. Father, I thank you so much for the comfort of your word that we have this morning, the encouragement. Lord, at times it warns us, it rebukes us, but it always encourages us. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you will renew the faith within our hearts. Help us to understand that we have a reason to have the joy that Jesus left with us, no matter what kind of circumstance we're in. I thank you that your word does not return to you void, but it does accomplish what you send it out to do. I thank you for the privilege, Lord, of preaching your word. And now I ask that you anoint me with the Holy Spirit and let your word do its job here. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible has a lot to say about being thankful. It's easy to be thankful in good times, but it's harder to be thankful when the times are not so good. In fact, as I said at the beginning, you actually question, what have I got to be thankful for? And if you're not careful, you get into a pity party. Poor old me. I had a daughter attempting to write poetry, and I don't like new poetry. And she thought I didn't like her poetry just because it was hers, and I told her I don't like new poetry. I like the old poetry. It has rhyme. It has meter. It has meaning. I said, you're a 16-year-old girl writing about life, and you haven't even experienced life yet. And the new poetry is all doom and gloom to me. It's so dark and cloudy. And I said, I got a poem for you. I think that I shall never see anyone more deserving of my sympathy than me. That's how I read the poetry today, you know. It made her kind of mad, and she thought Dad was just harping on her. But I said, no. But when I read the newer poetry, that's what I see. Poor me. You know, I don't have a reason to live. Well, wait a minute. God created you, so you got a reason to live, and you are somebody. God doesn't make junk. Do you know that? God does not make mistakes. Sometimes we feel like mistakes. I don't have any purpose in life. You'll find purpose if you seek God and ask Him what His purpose is in your life. The Bible says He has these plans made in advance. God never looks at any one of you in this room and says, where'd they come from? Boy, somebody snuck that one in on me. You know, I'm against illegitimate births, being out of wedlock. But one thing I know, God is the one who gives life. And when He grants those babies life, who am I to judge, mom or the baby? Because God, as Brother Mark saying, God said, I accept them and I give them life. And you know, I was thinking about that one day, and I said, you know, praise the Lord, those girls didn't have abortions. They could have. That's what they offer today. Just kill it. All right, I'll get back on track here. We're talking about giving thanks. He begins by saying, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Tell of all His wondrous works. We should be ready to give thanks in all situations. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said that to the Ephesians. Giving thanks in everything, always, to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When I read her book, The Hiding Place, Corrie Ten Boom talked about they were hiding Jews. They lived in Holland, in Amsterdam. And they were hiding Jews, and they were caught. And they were sent to prison camp. And her dad died in prison before he ever got to prison camp. He was an old man in frail health. And her sisters were the ones who survived the camp. Well, her sister didn't. She died before they were released. But she was in Ravensbrück, and she talked about the terrible conditions of that prison. Terrible food, no heat. And the women were put on these oversized bunks, and some of them slept three and four to a bed. The lice were terrible. She said head lice became rampant in through there, and fleas. They were given old blankets if they had any blankets. And she said the fleas and the lice were terrible. And Corrie had snuck a Bible in there around her neck. They stripped them naked. And she had a Bible, she said, she carried on a little rope around her neck, and she forgot about it until the strip search, and she said, oh God, you know, if they find this, I'm in trouble. And it said the soldiers stripped her, searched her, and told her to put her clothes back on. They didn't see the Bible. So her and Betsy, her sister, her bestie, began to have Bible studies in the corner of the barracks, and women were coming to Christ. Because they were dying. I mean, that people would say, you and you come with me, and you'd never see him again. And they were teaching about Jesus. And she said, one day, Bestie was praying, and she said, Lord, I thank you so much for these fleas and the lice. And Corrie said, after the prayer, she said, are you crazy? Why would you be thankful for these irritating bugs? She said, I don't know, Corrie, but the Bible says to give thanks in all things. And she said, God's allowing these bugs in here, so I'm thankful. Well, she said a couple days later, Bestie came to her just glowing, all excited. And she said, you know what I found out? I overheard some of the guards talking. She said, you know how come we've been having these Bible studies unmolested? Because the soldiers refused to come in here because of the fleas and the lice. So she said, Corey, God's provided these fleas and lice, and they're an irritation, but they're also a security where we can teach the Word of God uninhibited. And I read that and I thought, whoa, can I be that thankful? You know, you got these hyper grace dudes telling you, Dave, if anything like that happens, that's the devil doing that. Well, wait a minute, you better be careful. You know, God doesn't want me to be uncomfortable. God doesn't want you to be uncomfortable. Well, that's not what I've read in the Scriptures. Sometimes we're uncomfortable. In fact, Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, trouble. That means hard times, bad times. But he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That's where the joy of the Christian comes from. Jesus despised the shame of the cross for the joy that was set before him. It's like Jesus looked at the cross, but he could look past it to the crown. He had the promise of the Father. That's where his joy lay, not in the situation he was in. Jesus got sad. You remember in the garden? He got scared. He prayed, Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. When the Greeks used to sentence you to death in their courts, sometimes you were given an option to drink a cup of poison. And it was called the cup of death. And that's how Socrates died. Socrates, the Greek philosopher, he was tried for what they thought were crimes against the state. And he was given a choice, and Socrates drank the poison. It was called the cup of death. And that they believe that's the reference Jesus was making. Take this cup of death from me, if it's possible. And you know, he said, everything's possible for you. But what did he say then? Not what I will, but your will be done. That's joy. And he was sweating drops of blood because of the immense pressure he was under. But he still had joy. The Bible says, give thanks to God in everything. Paul and Silas were beaten and put in leg stocks and hand stocks. And it said they prayed and sang praises to God. Could you do that? I heard the testimony of a missionary who was put into prison for preaching. And he said they had this cell where the sewage from the prison ran into. And he said it was about 5-foot ceiling. And the water was about waist deep. And he said he was thrown in there, and you couldn't stand straight. You had to stand like this. He said, well, a lot of men died from septicism, from being in all that raw sewage. It soaked into their skin, and it killed them. He said it was dark. And while he's in there, he thought about Paul and Silas. And he said, I began to sing praises to God. Terrible cramps in my back. He said, I had to sleep standing on my knees when I slept, so I had to get down neck deep in that sewer water because I couldn't go to sleep laying like this or I'd drown. And I don't remember how many days he was in that cell. But he said sometimes the soldiers would come by and shout at him and say, what do you got this thing about? He'd start telling about Jesus Christ. I'm singing about Jesus Christ. He said he was told that some men went insane in that cell because it was totally dark. So he said he's in the darkness, standing in the sewer water, but he's singing praises to Jesus Christ. Could you do that? Could I? I've asked myself that. Could I do that? That's the joy of the Lord. He wasn't happy about his circumstance. I wouldn't be happy standing in the sewage. I fell through a septic tank one time in a place we lived. I didn't know it was rotted. And I walked over it, and it collapsed, and I went into my hips. I was not a happy camper. I didn't say, praise the Lord. You know, that was an accident. But I thought, could I stand waist deep in something like that, the stench in the darkness, and praise the Lord? Paul and Silas were beaten, and they praised the Lord. That's joy. You see, were they happy? that they were in that position? No, they were in a lot of pain. And when they tied those stocks, from what I've read, they bent you over and they stocked your hands and your feet to where you was almost at a 90-degree angle, I call it. You're almost laying flat. Your face would be touching your knees. Any of you ever try that? When I kickboxed, we used to have to do that, not be shackled, but they'd make us sit down and reach around there and grab our feet and stretch and pull because they wanted all these muscles stretched where you wouldn't tear them. Very uncomfortable. And I thought many times, I can't imagine being shackled like that, especially when you're not stretched. And Paul and Silas began to pray and sing praises at midnight. You know one reason I think we don't do that, including myself, because God doesn't always show up and make them shackles fall off and have a great earthquake cause the prison doors to open up and the warden's prison keeper run in and say, what do I need to do to be saved? He doesn't take it away sometimes. But he says, have joy. Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. That means you make room for it. You make room for that peace. Now, it doesn't mean you don't get depressed. It doesn't mean that you're not sad. It doesn't even mean that you don't get anxious about things. But I serve a God that says I can come into the throne room of grace boldly anytime I need to. And I go in there a lot. Sometimes I think in the spirit there's probably a little cot off in the side of that room with my name on it. I go to that room a whole bunch. And the closer I get to Jesus, the more I want to be there. I hunger for His presence. Do you? You know, Christian, it should break our hearts if we don't feel the presence of God. It should make us set up alarm to start looking around. You know, I told you that about that little kid at the Y that was smiling and talking to us. She couldn't have been two. And the closer I got to her, the smile started fading out. And she couldn't see Mom, and she starts turning around, and when Mom straightened up, she says, Mom, give me a hand. Give me a hand. And I thought, boy, how often do I do that with the Lord? How often should I do that? When the times get tough and it gets dark, I ought to be crying out like a little girl, Jesus, give me a hand. And once Mom got a hold of her hand, the smile came back. I'm okay now. Mom's with me. That's joy. That's my definition of joy. It doesn't mean you're happy. It doesn't mean you're content in the situation that you're in. But Paul said, I've learned to be content no matter what situation I'm in. We ought to strive for that as Christians. Dr. Mark sang about it, being broke, not being popular. What do you got to be happy about? Because Jesus Christ loves me. And Jesus Christ is watching over me. He's assured me that not one sparrow falls to the ground that God doesn't see. And He said, you're more valuable than many sparrows. Sometimes we think, God, or do you even care? I thought that. Do you care? Why are you letting me go through this? Why did my child die? Why are my children away from the Lord? Why did my spouse leave? Why am I going through this divorce? I can't get over this grief. I've lost a loved one, and I can't get through this grief. I'm tormented by it. God, don't you care? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Happiness is a choice. You stand by faith. That's what David's doing here. He said, sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord. My wife worked in a factory one time, and she told me that when things got to going bad, she'd start singing praise songs right there in the factory. She said, man, it just picked her up. Try it sometime. I'd like you to try that. When things get going bad, when you're by yourself, sing praise. Now, one lady told me she tried that driving down the road, and she got so caught up in it, she was Pentecostal, so she started lifting her hands. She said, I saw woo, 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 woo in the rearview mirror, and I pulled over, and the patrolman said, ma'am, are you all right? She said, well, yeah, I was just praising Jesus. He said, keep your hands on the wheel when you praise Jesus. He said, we don't like that. He said, I saw you go by me. He said, you had both hands up in the air just going like this. She said, well, I was caught up in it. And he said, well, don't get caught up like that. He said, you can praise Jesus, but don't let go of the wheel. When Paul was in a Roman prison for sharing the gospel, there were many who talked about it. I love that testimony in Philippians. Paul said some of them hoped to cause him trouble. Some of them were bolder to share their faith. And Paul said, what? In every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is being preached and I can glory. Paul didn't say, they're talking bad about me. I don't deserve that. I'm in here for a good... I shouldn't even be in this prison. You know, I'm here for a good reason. And they're out there talking about me. Well, they weren't talking about Paul. They were talking about Jesus. And Paul said, I've got joy. Because Jesus is being preached. Them pagans who couldn't spell God were out there talking about Jesus to their friends. Why is that Paul in prison? Oh, he's talking about Jesus. Well, who's Jesus? You know that Jesus guy. That Jew that they said Pilate crucified and he came back from the dead. And Paul saying he came back from the dead and he's the only true God. You know, and Paul said, Jesus Christ is being preached even by my enemies. And he said, I can glory in that. That's joy. He wasn't happy about being in prison. Anybody ever been in jail, don't raise your hand. But if you've ever been in jail, you know that you're not happy with that situation. You can't go anywhere. Yeah, I don't... This isn't the time to confess if you've been in jail. Paul said, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is being preached and I glory. Could you do that? Could I? See, to me, I'm seeing that this is a matter of perception. Paul's eyes weren't on Paul. They were on Jesus Christ. Paul being in prison was just an unfortunate thing for Paul, but he said the gospel's not in chains. That's what Paul's saying. You know, they got me locked up, but they can't lock up the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't put God in a box. You can't bring him into your situation and say, well, see, you just don't have any power to do anything about this. Me and God's just going to sit there and whine together. That doesn't work. He's in control. And Paul said, they're sitting here talking bad about, they're dissing me, but Jesus is being respected. He's being spoke about, and he said, I can glory in that. The Apostle Paul learned in his weakest moments that the power of Jesus Christ was at work in his life. Listen to what he said in 2 Corinthians 4. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. I love that. There's a lot of times I go to this passage to remind myself it's okay to be perplexed. It's okay to be in despair at times. But he said, remember that you're not forsaken. And he said, even if you get knocked down, that's what struck down means, knocked down. It's actually a wrestling term. You get thrown flat on your back and you're looking up wondering, what in the world happened? He said, but you're not destroyed. That's joy. You ever been perplexed? Confused? No, I have. About a lot of things. He says, but I'm not crushed. One thing I can be happy for is that Jesus said they have the power to kill my body. They can confiscate my goods. But they can't touch my soul. I can have joy with that. No matter what kind of life I have to live on this earth, there's a better life waiting, and I believe that with all my heart. And that I have joy. Like I said, even in my moments of depression, I have the joy of the Lord. And that's generally what drives my depression away. I just begin to thank Him. We should be thankful for the privilege we have when we're in trouble that we can call upon the name of the Lord. That's what David said. He said, call upon the Lord. We have the assurance that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, I've told you before what that word means in the Greek. It means rescued from danger. Being saved in a one-time calling upon the Lord, it's a lifetime calling upon the Lord. Because Christian, you're going to get in danger a lot in this thing we call life. And if you try to tackle it head on under your own power, you're a fool. Don't do it. We have the privilege of any time, day or night, calling upon the Lord. And I've never called on His name and had an angel say, "I'm sorry, but all the lines are presently busy. You know, we're going to play some music, Rick, and you sit and listen to this music, and then when God gets where He can talk to you, we'll get Him on the line." It doesn't work that way. David said, call on Him. When you get in trouble, call on Him. When I'm confused, call on Him. When I'm laying flat on my back, call on Him. I did a lot of praying in ICU after I had the heart surgery, and you know, most of it was thanks. Even though I was in pain, I said, thank you that they found this. Thank you for this second chance I'm getting on life. Thank you for this different perspective. I don't thank you for the pain. This is kind of a drag. But I also said, thank you for this quiet time that I have. A time to lay here and meditate and think. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is through His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. You know that 24/7, that's yours. If you're a child of God, that is yours. That's another reason to joy. God, I'm in trouble. Well, come to me. You know what the problem is? We run from Him. And I'm saying I'm guilty of this too. We'll run away from Him, or especially us men, I'll take care of this. Sorry, God. Go help somebody that's weak. I'll take care of this myself. Because I'm a man. You know, men got all the answers. Boy, if you believe that, you're a fool. None of the wise, yeah, I was going to say none of the wise, but they're thinking about it. Now remember what I told you. If you run your husband down, just remember who he married. That ought to mellow you out a little bit. But Paul says, the Word says that you and I can come into His presence boldly. We're talking on Sunday nights about God's presence with Israel, and we were talking about the tabernacle last week, and only the high priest could go into the presence of God once a year with the blood of animals. Anybody else tried it, they died. And I was reading that over that, and I realized they had to worship God from a distance. They weren't even allowed into the holy place of the temple, or they would die. You and I can go into the Holy of Holies in heaven itself, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why don't we do that? David said, glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His presence continually. There's another reason to be thankful. We have the promise that if we seek the Lord, we will find Him. But there's a condition. If you seek me with all of your heart. God says, don't play games with me. Don't jerk my chain. Seek me with all of your heart. I love that verse in 2 Chronicles. When Solomon has prayed and said, God, would you look towards this temple? Remember this temple where you placed your name? If your people sin and confess, will you hear and forgive them? And God appeared to him in a vision that night, and he said, I've heard your prayer, Solomon. And he said, in the case of what you're asking, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, seek my face, and pray, then I will hear. We have the promise, church, that we may seek God's very presence in our lives. And if we do it the way He tells us to, He assures us we'll have it. What's that do to confusion? What's that do to despair? It chases it away. That's joy. He says, but from there, if you seek the Lord your God, and you will find him, if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. That's what he told Israel in the wilderness. He'd given them the law, and he said, look, if you'll seek me with all your heart and soul, you'll find me. The Apostle Paul repeated that when he was preaching in the Areopagus, and he said, God's commanded us to seek him, even though he's not very far from any of us. You know what that tells me? He's close. He wants you to find him. What kind of a God would he be if he was so aloof and mysterious and he said, try to find me, but I'm not going to reveal myself to you. You know, you're just going to waste your time. You're going to wear out. You're going to burn out trying to find me. No, he said, I'm right there close. If you'll seek me with all your heart. I don't know about you, but that gives me joy. God promises to strengthen us in all circumstances. One of my favorite passages in the Old Testament is in Zechariah 4:6. They are under a terrible judgment. Everything's falling apart. Their system, their rituals, everything. God is not answering. And they're in confusion. And they're basically saying, look, we're offering these sacrifices. We're praying. We're going to the temple. And you're not answering. And then they come and they're conquered by the Babylonians and now they're really down. And Zechariah, God shows him this vision. And he sees this priest standing there in soiled garments. And he said, the devil's standing beside him making accusations. And an angel steps up and God says, take those soiled garments off of him and put the priestly robes back on him. And put the turban on his head. He was putting the clothes of the high priest on him. God said, I'm going to make those soiled garments clean. I'll do it. You can't do it, but I can. What do you think that did to the accuser? Shut him up. He's making all these accusations against this man and against the people. And look at him. He's filthy. Look at him, God. He's stained. And God said, I see that. Then God changes his clothes and says, now look at him. And the Lord told Zechariah to tell a man named Zerubbabel, I think he was the governor of the area at the time, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. He's wondering what's going on, what's going to happen in the future. We're sorely outnumbered. We've been reduced to a very small remnant. The Babylonians killed hundreds of thousands of Jews when they came and conquered them. I mean, they knocked them down to a handful. And this is Zerubbabel's wondering what's going to happen. And God says, it's not in your power by your might, but by my spirit. See, that's how you can have joy. God wins. He told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul said, now I glory in my weaknesses because I know when I'm weak, then I'm strong because the power of Christ rests on me. That's why I'm sober, because the power of Christ rests on me. I've learned when I'm tempted to drink, I call on his name. I used to think, I got this, God. It's been several years since I had a drink, man. I've got it. I've got this down. But now sometimes, I told you a while back, I saw that one show and that guy carried a bottle of Jack Daniels in and I could taste bourbon in my mouth. Literally. I could taste it. And I said, Lord Jesus Christ, you're my God, not that jug. And that's how I stay sober. I confess that to him. I confess it to me. I confess it to Jack Daniels Distillery and all the demons that go with it. It's not by my might or power, but by the Holy Spirit. And see, I've learned that secret. I enter into the throne room of grace a lot. And say, it's me again. It's Rick. You know, and yeah, I'm having these temptations, Lord. And I'm really tempted. And this is really wearing me down. And God says, come on in, son. Come on in. He says, no temptation is overtaking you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Sometimes I don't like that verse very much. I feel like, God, why don't you just not let me be tempted at all? You know, I can't deal with that temptation. You ever feel that way? You ever feel that I can't handle this? You're in a situation, I can't handle this. Well, if you're a Christian, you just call God a liar. God said, I won't let anything come on you that you can't handle. Remember Job? Satan came in there and said, well, no wonder you protect him, you bless everything he does. Or he said, no wonder he loves you because you bless everything he does. You got this head around him. But he said, take it away and he'll curse you. And God said, okay, he's in your power, but you can't touch his life. That's an example of that. God said, this is going to be a bad one, Job, but I know you can take it. And I'm going to be right there with you through the whole time. That's the joy of the Lord. It doesn't mean I have to be happy. It doesn't mean I have to like my situation. I don't like temptation. I don't. I loathe it. It's a distraction. You know? When I think I'm getting closer to Christ and going strong, and then some kind of a temptation will hit me, it's like, good night. I thought I was over that. I thought that was all dealt with. But I also remember this verse that God says, you can bear up under this. Now, God's not tempting me. He doesn't tempt anyone with evil. The Bible says when we're tempted with evil, it's because of our own desires. We give Satan the tools to tempt us with. We give him the ammunition. He doesn't pull it out of a hat or out of thin air. He doesn't have something up his sleeve. He knows your weaknesses. He knows how to tempt you, and Satan will hit you with that. And he's not omnipresent, so you can't always say the devil does it because he can't be everywhere at once. He's got a lot of guys working for him. But the Bible says God will provide a way of escape. He says, remember the wondrous works he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered, O offspring of Abraham, his servants, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. I've heard many people say Israel is the chosen people of God. Okay. But the Apostle Paul said you were part of Israel. That's why I included this verse. We have the promises, if the Word of God, so that our faith is not blind, but well documented. You know, now sometimes we feel like we're walking by blind faith. But I'm finding out that the more I read this Word, my faith isn't blind. There's so much written in there that gets me through the hard times. And I look back and see what God did for these people. And that's why He puts their faults in there. You know, I've often thought it'd be cool to be in the Bible, but then I'm like, yeah, I don't know, because man, I got a lot of faults. God probably have to devote a whole book to faults. But you see how they overcame. You see how they got through it and how they came to victory. And God, through David, is saying to the offspring of Abraham, to Israel, rejoice, sing. I'm your God. I'll get you through this. Peter said, His divine power has granted us all the things that pertain to life and godliness. How many? All. Everything I need for life and godliness, He's given to me. He's given me the promises here. I heard a true testimony of a minister that was dying, and they said the man knew the Word of God, preached the Word of God for years, and he was dying of cancer, and a minister friend was sitting there with him, and said the guy in the bed was in so much pain, his mind was so fogged, he looked at that other minister and said, brother, I have preached the Word of God for years. He said, I have consoled people with the promises of the Word. And he said, God, help me right now. I can't remember one of them. Said his friend reached over, took his hand, said, brother, God hasn't forgot any of them. That's what you rest in. That's joy. I may get where I don't even know my own name. But God's going to remember every promise He ever made. Yeah. Peter said, He's granted us very great and precious promises so that through them we may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. That's something to be thankful for. You know, we get frustrated as Christians and we wonder, how come the world doesn't get it? I've been there. I do that a lot. All I got to do is watch the evening news and listen to some knothead commentator that I think got a degree in ignorance in the university. I think, why don't they get it? Why don't they see it? Because God hadn't shown them. Paul said, anything I've received, don't boast about it. God gave it to us. God gave it to me. He'll give it to you. He said, don't boast like you did on your own. This world is blind. You're not, or you shouldn't be. The only hope this world has is found in pill bottles, booze, money. You know, that's their security, but it's short-lived. I have the promise of eternity with my Savior. I have the promise of a Savior who said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He didn't say, you'll never have any problems. You'll never be depressed. You'll never be sad. You'll never be confused. He just said, but I'm going to be right there with you the whole time. Why don't you stand with me? I talked about main reasons for us to be happy, to rejoice in the Lord, to sing. Remember, that's a choice we make. When things are going bad, sing. Sing to the Lord. Thank Him. Sometimes my prayers, I tell myself, I'm not going to ask God for anything today. I'm just going to thank Him for everything He's given me. And you'll be surprised how long you can pray when you do that. Because things just start coming up in your mind. It's, oh yeah, thank you for that. Oh yeah, I remember when you did this. Thank you so much for that. And when you grow through your trials, you can learn to thank Him for those trials that you went through. If you're not a Christian this morning and you would like to join yourself to Christ, I want to invite you to come forward as we sing the song of invitation. If you're a Christian this morning and you're in a rut, you're in a dark spot, I want to assure you something. God has not forgotten you, and He says, you seek me and find me, but you got to do it with all your heart. As we sing our song of invitation, won't you come?